Great. So something that I want to highlight, though, section one, purpose of the student financial system is to create policies for the judicious allocation of student money. So I think we should really keep that in mind, especially the term judicious. And then number four, to hold student organizations which receive student money accountable to the student body. That's something I want to touch more on and like figure out what people's like ideas for that were. Like I don't, like past, like I think my freshman year, my sophomore year, SFC sent out like a campus-wide email, like Google form, asking people what they thought about Celerity, because there's a time when Celerity was great and then there's a time where Celerity like blew a bunch of fucking money doing nothing. And like they got, they got like an absurd amount of money from SFC, and like other groups were really pressed about it because they're like, Celerity literally is not useful on this campus and doesn't do anything, and like they're getting all this money and like don't even use it, and while other like really important student orgs who are doing a lot of things aren't getting as much money. And so like there was a year where Celerity got no money, like their budget was cut because the student body was like, this doesn't make any sense. And so SFC was like, you're right, and they like acted accordingly. But that's the only time I've ever like seen SFC like actually hold the student org accountable to the student body. So I was wondering if people have like ideas about that, like how you can do that more effectively.
I'm probably gonna like echo what Elijah would say here and say like I think like stats and like whatever like metrics that we can get from students would be awesome. So it's like, I know it might be work, but like doing like polls and doing stuff and like getting like actually learning what students feel about certain things and, you know, holding them accountable, not like just to the quality of the events they're holding and stuff.
Sorry, I want to hear all the ideas first and then
comments. I don't like really have any other ideas because I'm still trying to like learn what was here before and what is going on now. But I guess I'll just like metrics is a good idea. I was thinking of that too, and like I think it was also brought up like creating a Google calendar with all like the information that would help like get better metrics as well.
You got something to say or what? Like,
you don't have to comment if you don't have a comment.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I want to like bring back what Elijah had said before about the idea of like a contract that's like explicitly signed.
Hello. Does anyone want a burnt cookie?
We're good.
First of all, that was my idea that I said in my interview, so.
Oh, my bad. I should remember.
Are you allergic to peanuts?
No. Thanks, Emily. Sorry, Evie's idea of having a contract. I didn't think there's a lot of stuff on the SFC charter. Sorry, the student finance charter that makes it explicitly clear like how and what like a treasurer is accountable for, and like, an organization is accountable for, or from a legal perspective, and how do we engage in that contract. So for example, like we have a discriminatory like statutes that like we try to uphold a lot. I think we'll be talking about more in section two of this article one. But then like we also talk about like how we measure culpability for like finance like, funds. So I think development of that contract should be like to look into. But also in terms of like accountability, I do want to springboard off the Celerity thing. I think though that the idea of like a student-wide referendum on one organization is too much.
Yeah.
But I think a public display of like accountability is something to play with. So not to keep bringing back Wesleyan, but Wesleyan does a thing with like student finance where like they do a predominantly ad hoc situation.
Mm-hmm.
And how they constantly publicize the decision every week of who gets which money and like for what reason. So for example, like, and it's always like due to events or due to like, for example, the speech and debate team wants to go to like some competition and therefore they were allocated this funds for like to go to that competition or stuff like that. So I think that's a way of accountability that we can toy with, especially like when we're like playing with the website.
Mm.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, I think that's my experience over the past year, just like being a part of clubs, is kind of confusion over exactly how SFC decides and why. they allocate the way, like, we allocate the way we do. And I think that something like that would be very helpful, especially for treasurers taking examples from other treasurers, just simply by saying, like, yes, we have the minutes, and yes, we're transparent in that way, but I think that being very openly, like, because it's not, it shouldn't be, like, a hush-hush secret, I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, it's also, like, it will help understanding the magnitude of how, like, the magnitude of requests that we, like, frown upon and smile upon, you know? Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. Also, I'm not totally sure how this would play out, but, like, I was thinking about it before, but kind of having some kind of student survey of, like, people who would attend an event, for example, and hearing, like, just so we know in terms of, like, who attended and then, like, and this is maybe a broader way in the future idea, and I don't know how that would, like, be orchestrated, but just even having people, like, if it was, like, a thing that, like, after a certain event someone has to fill out, like, a form being, like, I enjoyed this, blah, 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 then that would be helpful to us, too.
Just go down.
But that's, like,
I think having a form after every event might be a lot. If I knew I was going to fill out a form after I attended something, I definitely would not attend. Something we could do, like, it's like kind of the same thing, but less often, is like having a once a semester evaluation that's just done to the student body. And it's like, in this past semester, how many times did you attend? Or in this past semester, which of the following activities did you attend? A banquet, a religious practice event, a general interest meeting for a club, and then, like, seeing, like, what are people actually going to, and then, like, I know you could also put a question, like, in this past semester, what event do you wish you could have attended? So we're also, like, getting ideas about what the interest is for things, so when people do come to ad hoc and ask for things, like, we'll have a general, like, knowledge of, like, what people actually want on campus, and then, like, also, like, we can ask them, like, what was your favorite event you attended this semester? What was your least favorite event and why? And that could be like a low pressure once a semester thing, or twice a semester.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Then I was just gonna go back to the contract thing. Because Elijah actually put on the new treasurer authorization form, like, the part about, like, if you, a misuse of funds, like, if something happens where you, like, overspend your account, like, it will be tacked onto your student bill. If something happens where you're misusing your funds, SOC can reclaim them. That kind of thing. I think, like, the contract, like, the treasurer contract can just be something that's put on the Google form that's part of the treasurer authorization form.
And I could make it longer if you need me to.
Yeah. So, since we do things concretely,
yeah.
What are some things that we think should be on the contract?
Today's not the time.
Maybe like a minute, like, Elijah, you said you wanted to, like, add more, like, trainings throughout the semester, right?
I do.
Like, maybe like a minimum number of training attendances in the contract? Like, minimum of, I don't know, I'm not the best person to answer, so if there's like a good, like, two per semester.
That sounds, in addition to the big one.
So one big and then one small. Or sorry, one big, two small.
That sounds good.
And then also something, I don't know. Hopefully we can get this started this semester. I really don't know.
What?
About meeting. I want us to, like, meet with all the student orgs on campus. Like, within the seven of us, not, like, all of us meet with all the student orgs. Like, either meet with the co-chairs and the treasurers of all the student orgs and figure out where they are in their spending, figure out what their plan is this year, just in case there's, like, new leadership and they, like, don't really know, like, what to do, or, like, they're confused about how to move money around in their budget. I feel like sometimes people, like, will get in over their heads or, like, not understand, like, what to do, but then, like, not want to ask about it until, like, fortunately they come to us. So, like, having a required meeting would, like, help, I feel like, with transparency and communication. And that could also be in the contract that you have to attend at least one or two start with one of those a semester, unless your funds will be frozen.
So it's kind of like a check-in.
Are you, sorry, are you meaning, do you mean with one of us or like seven of us?
Yeah,
like
no, with one of us.
So like during office hours, come
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds perfect.
So this would be like a juxtaposition to like the spring semester sort of check-in where it's like, I'm checking in and growing the budget and our future plans.
Yeah.
So it'd be like a fall semester, spring semester one.
Yeah.
That'd be cute.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I think it'd be good, especially if we're trying to shift towards like ad hoc, like focused spending, like people just don't know shit. Like they like they need to know that we have there's ad hoc available and like they need like and I feel like the process can be scary and like that whole like I was looking at the sample like form that like we've been sending out and like it's helpful but it's also just like it is like daunting to like have to like do all those things, so just like have someone just be like it's easy, if you want the money you just have to like be organized and do it.
What else should be on the contract? Something I want the contract to explicitly say is that only treasurer should be getting forms from OST.
Only treasurers, that's true.
And not co-chairs. And only treasurers should be able to sign for forms, and only treasurers should fill out their own information. Because there's a big problem of people coming to the office and asking for things but not knowing what they need those things for, because oh, my co-chair just told me to come get this form, what do you need it for? Oh, I don't know, you are in charge of your funds and you need to know that information.
I think there's standard non-discrimination aspects of like the use of monies should be on there.
So when you say standard, what does that mean?
So it's like on like 2.2 of Article 1. So that's equal opportunity of participation activities supported by student money shall not be abridged or denied on the basis of criteria.
That's a bylaw.
So it's kind of like you should not be using monies. If like you're using student funds, then you should not be like excluding anybody on the basis of like the criteria that we've like outlined here, race, gender, sexuality, blah, blah, blah.
What are your thoughts on priority things?
I think it should add ability.
Did you say?
I think it should add ability, the little categories.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's a language that we should definitely add in there.
Yeah, for sure.
That answered
my
question.
Huh? What did you say?
what are your take on a priority?
Like, you know how people are like POC priority ticketing for this event and like that?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's awesome. I don't know why I said on that.
Where we're gonna have treasurers accountable for, like, monetarily accountable. So like
yeah, the student charge thing.
Yeah.
Will be going to.
So would these be enacted like now, or would it have to wait until like next semester or next year?
I mean, it depends on what you guys want to do. I can always send out an email to the student body or the list of treasurers that we have, rather.
Hmm.
We should enact them now. But can the email be sent out over fall break?
Yes, if everything's done. I would also, but I would probably send two if I did that, just because people don't check their emails really over fall break. So
right.
I would send it during and then after.
Cool. And I think that would like reemphasize like why we need to meet with the treasurers and co-chairs of each organization for check-ins, like so that they know like policy and change, like you're actually accountable, because I feel like a lot of students are not for that, and that would be treasurer, that'll be an issue later.
Something that I'm working on, it's not exactly related to the contract, but it has to do with some of the stuff we're talking about as far as communication with the treasurers or group heads. I spoke to the SUPC, and something that I'm trying to do, starting with the music organizations, is kind of create a council where they plan out all their events, because one of the issues that I feel like is the fact that we have a lot of groups and they're doing a lot of things that overlap, and but they're doing it individually.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they won't charter together, maybe they'll work together on a council and put together a master schedule, maybe
mm-hmm.
once a month or twice a semester or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that I'm working on now. They also, one of the things that I think is important is a lot of the groups already keep calendars and records of their own events. They don't necessarily share it with SSC. So we should just, we should start by asking them if they have it already. Because they upload it to like the CAT website, like all sorts of other shit, stuff.
That's
fine. To like request events calendar for student works.
You know what we could do is just make an events calendar like through the SFC or OST email and then give people, like share it with all the treasurers and like require them to add all their events on the calendar. So that when we're like looking at budgets or like we're trying to figure out if someone did something, if it's not on the calendar, we are safe to assume that you didn't do it because it's in your contract to add things to the calendar.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Require them to add it to SFC calendar. Calendar is DAR, right?
Can we by chance seek guidance through the general counsel office regarding like the nitty bitties of like which events are on, especially since it pertains to like charging somebody out of, or like repercussions of students for like misuse of student activity funds?
I know general counsel?
Yeah, Donna Kavarner specifically. I mean, Donna Kavarner has been talking about this since like the past 8 months. I know she wants to get her hands on this. And like, I think it wouldn't help like to have like a specific legal sign off on the college's part of this.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. That sounds good. I have a meeting with her on the 11th.
Do you want to bring that up to her?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, so right now the things in the contract are...
Done by 11?
Hmm?
Would it be like too much ask to have a draft of it done by 11?
The draft of the contract?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So things to be included in the contract are minimum number of trainings required, one big one, two small ones, for OSD, minimum number of check-in meetings with SOC per semester. There's one. Only treasurers can get and sign forms. Your student account will be charged if you overdraft your account. You cannot discriminate on the use of your funds based on lots of different things. And then you are required to put all the events that you host and plan to host on a shared calendar so that SFC knows what you're doing with your money. Any other things to be added to the contract?
This is all assuming like all the other OST like assumed responsibilities are beyond this contract, correct?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. This is in addition to the words already on there.
For sure, for sure.
Cool. Should we move on? Article 1.
For what are we?
The chart. We're just going through the chart.
Oh, I thought we're not still on the contract?
Oh, yes, we're still on the contract. Sorry, okay. We're just like, I don't know, the contract came out of like the chart.
Okay.
Article 1.
Okay, I just... Damn. I hate my fucking writing. Oh. Nah. All right, never mind. It'll come back later. I'll write it down next time. Sorry.
Okay. Cool. So something I wanted to point out in Section 2. Section 2, Part Number 3. An organization serving a minority of students should not be excluded from receiving allocations if the organization lends to the diversity of the college community, provides a valued service to students, or augments the general student welfare. Just because an organization has 7 people in it as opposed to 17 doesn't mean that we should say that like they shouldn't receive a certain kind of funding for something. Just like beyond what we know. This one, number 4, is interesting. I haven't thought about it, but like, I guess that's really good. An organization was recognized by the Association of Students of Oberlin College through the student government is not necessarily guaranteed funding through the student financial system.
I think that should be in the contract too.
Yeah.
Because treasurers can be the treasurer of an organization with no funds. So.
Yeah. May withhold funding from any organization that has received, or use funds in an unethical manner. Does anybody have any other comments, suggestions, feedback on Article 1?
So just for note, when Section 5 and Section 6, there's actually no, like, that I found in both the bylaws or SFC, like, the charter that outlines that.
Wait, what did you say?
For Section 5, for example, like, non-discriminatory use of student activity funds shall be established in the bylaws of the SFC. There's nothing on, like, the bylaws regarding that. And, like, the SFC may withhold funding from any blah, 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 of an unethical manner.
That's not defined either.
No, that's not defined either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we define that?
Yeah. Yeah. But I also want to add, backtracking, the language of ability. I think there's a lot of disability justice groups happening right now,
yeah.
Specifically, and like I kind of wanted to like have backing. So for number one, to include in that long list of like social stratification groups, ability, or disability, we want to use more legal term. Any opposition to that?
Who's editing this?
So here's the process. Any like amendments to that this charter specifically, I will propose to Senate, and then Senate will vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, just give me the language and I'll do like a side by side, like here's what we're gonna change, and then I'll send you updates when it happens.
So you're writing this down?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, great. So we wanna define
define unethical and outline the non-discriminatory practices in the bylaws. Detail non-discriminatory.
Unethical.
Oh, are we doing, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I
we're all about concrete action
doing
here.
It right now. I got you.
Maybe like lying about how much is being used, and like if they request an ad hoc earning of their budget, and like lying about how much is being used, whether that's over or underspending, that would be enough.
Also, anything against policy after we update policy.
Lying against policy. Intentionally harmful to the student body or the surrounding community. And the relationship between, I would add.
How would you categorize that, or what do you think would fall into that? So like in the past,
I would say like disruptive to the academic, social, and something else.
So like in the past, when Oberlin College Republican Libertarians have brought or like tried to bring speakers to campus who they know would like put make people upset and like intentionally like stir up feelings of anger and stuff. Like, would you categorize that as unethical, or would you categorize that as
I think that we actually did have that conversation, and I think that it was sort of unethical after a while, and I think that they eventually, what we ended up doing was they had a donation, and some of those speakers they brought in with those private donations, because what they ended up doing, because it served so little of the student body directly, and the only reason that they were getting big numbers to show out is because it upset everybody, it pissed everybody off. So in that case, if it disrupts the student body.
So we would only be able to withhold the SOC funds, not their private donation.
Yeah, that's always theirs.
So what is the process for, checking clubs' ethics with funds? Like, do we require like receipts and stuff and invoices for all?
Yeah, so OST, would you like to run through?
Oh, other OST.
What would you like to run through? What? How we. So
wait,
basically.
Wait, have we had a treasure chest? I feel like that's something that should happen. So we know. Can we do that right now?
Can we not do that right now?
Yeah, no.
It's not that deep.
It's kind of
half
yeah.
of treasure training is SFC stuff, which
I
we don't need to run through.
Well, what's funny is that I thought I could.
What about
treasure
if there's not
a
lot of
ad hocs
from 1 to 5 and we get free time on Sunday that we can run through it?
Okay, we're gonna get treasure train on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like during
for
an
ad hoc?
Yeah.
I told
him.
You
notified me. got a whole wedding. Whole wedding to go to.
Can y'all CC me when y'all do that in the future, please? Because I'm keeping track of points. I don't want a bunch of accident.
Point you.
I'll CC.
You got a spread chart.
You know I love my spreadsheets, man.
Yeah, anytime you're missing something or you're going to be late to something, you should email SFC, CC the coaches, and then CC Elijah. What
were you going to say? Oh, I was just saying my bad. But I can also get treasure trained, like, individually. Like, I can just come in during this.
Yeah, I guess you could do good treasure training during your hours. Because everyone's hours are while OSC is open.
Yeah.
So,
if you need to do it Sunday, don't worry.
Cool.
But, yeah. I mean, to answer the question now, yes, people have to submit receipts for everything. So, yeah.
What else?
To answer that question.
I'm trying to think of other. I guess that's already.
Did you say murderously?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other unethical.
Murder?
Unethical concern.
Unethical.
Manners.
Manners.
What is underlying?
Oh, shit.
What goes underlying? What goes underlying? Like, specifically?
Specifically? Just. I mean, I would phrase it differently, but the core concept is lying. I would just say intentional deception. Like, intentionally try to deceive, like, mislead
like,
us. Mislead or deceive.
Ooh, what was that org last year?
Oh, great.
But the funnel org.
What?
Funnel
we'll
org.
Talk.
No disrespect.
On these minutes. On these minutes.
We tried it.
It's going on the
website. We really did try it. Okay.
Wow.
That was the situation.
People are bold. Student treasurers act like they don't know nothing, but they're bold. don't forget that.
Withholding pay.
Withholding or distributing payment improperly.
Oh, I remember that.
There's so much like shape, but I want to know the
Oberlin financial team.
That's all I have for
so right away, we have intentional deception, or what I've written down is intentional deception and withholding payment or improper distribution of payment. Any unethical manners you want to outline?
And then the intentional harm or disruption of the physical, academic, residential, or social environment.
Real academic, okay. Or disruption of what?
The intentional harm or disruption to the physical, academic, residential, and social environments of the college.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I went to Amsterdam for the first time, and since I've been back, I've been hiccuping like this.
Really? You hiccup with an accent now?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's so uncomfortable.
You went abroad.
Okay.
I've been abroad. So we need to define non-discriminatory.
Is that it? Oh yeah, non-discriminatory.
Yeah. But like in the bylaws. Not in this document?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the practices, not the term, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is just something that we added to the bylaws.
And if it's in the bylaws, note that like it doesn't need to focus on it. It just needs our vote.
Okay. Nice. Awesome. Okay. Is that all for section one? Or article?
Yeah.
Wait, are we going to do the discriminatory?
What is not discriminatory?
Keep trying to move on.
We're doing it now.
I didn't know if we were making the bylaw now. We're doing it now.
We're doing action items.
The bylaws will go to Meg to look right up as policy manager. Sound good?
Yeah. Sounds good.
So, what is non-discriminatory uses?
No.
non-discriminatory practices
Okay, so this says regulations for non-discriminatory use The student activity fund shall be established in the bylaws of the SOC. And then in the bylaws, Article 5 plus 3 is 8, under recusal, it says this clause is designed to prevent discriminatory use of funds as per Article 1, Section 2.5 of the Charter.
Yeah. Is recusal going to stop it with all that?
What did you say?
Is recusal going to be the only thing we're going to talk about?
No, but is it saying preventing discriminatory use of funds in SFC or in the student body?
I think it should cover both, honestly, if it doesn't already. I think it's referring to SFC.
Yeah, I think this is referring to SFC.
But it should refer to both. I think.
Like, we should expand it to, like, consider it.
And we can add a section into the bylaws that...
Well, this section is talking about the allocation of money, which is SFC. So, why would we talk about that up here?
Because I believe that for me, I think the allocation is a process. So, like, they're a part of that process. And so, how they budget and how they disseminate the funds after we give it to them is also a part of the allocation process. Especially since up until this point, we haven't really been checking exactly what they spend it on once they get their budget. So they can be discriminatory too.
Cool. Ways to define discriminatory.
Non-discriminatory. I just don't know how you would handle the challenge of like, it looks some like person's like, FOSS is using these funds for like non-discriminatory. That's discriminatory. Like, how would you even like manage that sort of like challenge?
Yeah.
You know, like, how would you even hear that?
Wait, what?
I don't know what I just said. Like, for example, like if a student like saw like FOSS was doing some fuck shit, and then like brings it up to SFC like, hey, like FOSS did XYZ things,
mm-hmm.
What would even be the process of hearing that like complaint, and seeing that investigation? Like, that's like what comes to mind for me.
I feel like we would get. So, campus safety, when someone reports something, they have them fill out a witness statement kind of thing.
Okay.
And so, did you say you hate those?
Yes.
I have to do that because I got $10 stolen out of my house and they made me fill out a witness statement.
I hate those.
Yeah, so maybe, like, not a witness statement, but just like as much detail as someone can give us. And like, they don't even have to write it. They would just meet with us and we would have to write it down. And then we would go to the student org, FOSSA in this case, and be like, what's going on? You did this, and if they lie about it, like, I mean, if this student like says they did it, like, I guess people could lie. Well, if they like say yes, we did it, like, we would like, I don't know, try to problem solve and be like, why? Or like, depending on like the nature of it, like, we might just like freeze our funds until next semester, next year.
I mean, it's also hard to discover, like, to talk about the process of hearing it if we don't know what it means, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I feel like, at least when I'm imagining it now, I can imagine it going from the severity of, I just don't like this person and they're not letting me leave the club with them. So, like, I could see it being from something that goes as simple from charter disputes to somebody literally being racist and basically kicking somebody out the club or some shit like that. I could see it going both ways. So, I wonder, so what comes back to me is, like, what is the difference?
What is discriminatory use?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, in our experience of, like, student clubs, like, what would be discriminatory use? I could say from, like, the Grape has a long history of being racist, like, would that be, like, discriminatory use of funds? Because Review had, like, a history as well.
Racist in what way?
We told African students last semester in April 2018 that, like, their, like, experience of, like, going through, like, potential, like, social stratification by nature of, like, their country of origins was like something to laugh at, and we got a huge backlash. That's a huge Trump abuse.
Yeah, that I would say definitely.
And we dropped $800 for that to be sent out in the whole hair campus, right? And then there was the Mexicoco situation.
Yeah, all these articles.
December of 2017, dropped $800 on that. That's discriminatory use.
I think that those would be. I think that those would be perfect examples of things you could bring up to the committee and say that this is. At least make the case that you're saying, like, the way that I mentioned, you can make the case that you're saying, like, this is a racist institution. This is for the entire student body. I'm a member of the student body, and it's making a particular segment of the student body feel very uncomfortable. It's racist or prejudiced in some specific way, and say that the use of the student activity funds shouldn't be used to support this, or something has to be done to punish them is my thing. Like,
okay,
if you don't take away funds.
So here's another situation. Last semester, November of 2017, last semester, I guess, Blessing wrote an article for Grape about what it means to have like a Zimbabwean like professor on campus and being the only Zimbabwean student on campus and having that solidarity. And this was in the wake of Bernard Matambo's like sexual assault allegations and like the language that was used got a lot of backlash from people with like, sexual assault survivors.
Mm.
And like, so like, and like, how do we mediate like controversies on language? As like, is that discriminatory just because somebody said it so? And like, how do we like hear that?
Mm.
And are we the body to determine that?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking when you brought up like hearings and stuff, I thought that would be more of like the Senate thing.
Yeah.
I think like, isn't there like a diversity and inclusion sort of like board?
No, I think that's a Senate thing. I mean, if people are being discriminatory through the money that we're giving them, it like the onus, I think, of like making sure they're not doing that falls on us. I think I don't really know, huh?
Or OSD.
Oh yeah. I struggle with being objective in this. I don't like it's like everything just seems like a very case by case basis because I don't use people's names because I think that's weird for this. But like in the case of like a student writing about how much in the case of the student writing about like how much that professor meant to them, like that's a genuine feeling. Like I know, like I mean, I like I don't know, but like it can be very isolating being like not seeing yourself reflected in this PWI that you go to for 4 years, but also like people's pain is just not being acknowledged. And like I think a good example of like Donica brought this up at the review retreat we went to, like apparently the review like published an article about like the two professors from the con who like had to leave the school because of sexual assault, and like basically like lauded them for the whole article and like just listed out all these great things they did. And then a week later, like somebody else wrote an article about them in the opposite viewpoint about like all the horrible things they did and like the effects on like survivors and like all this stuff. And Danica was like, I was really upset when I read that the first issue because like that, sure, that's fine that they did all this stuff, but they have affected so many people in negative ways, and like just publishing an article about that does not do justice to like the whole gravity of the situation. And like, and then she like pointed out that, but like then the next week somebody wrote an article, so it balanced. But like if you're gonna do that, those two articles need to be in the same issue, so that people are seeing the full picture. And so like that Zimbabwe professor story, like I don't know, like it's hard because like one, newspapers are meant to showcase other people's like thought processes and like feelings and like not necessarily like the people like the opinion sections, like not necessarily like the viewpoints of the people who are publishing the paper, but like it's a platform for students to speak. And like I don't know, like policing what people are saying, like
yeah.
I don't know, it's like very like hard to do, but I think like it is a responsibility that like newspaper article organization whatever to present the full picture, and I feel like presenting one side of the picture could be considered discriminatory, but presenting the full side of the story, both all sides of the story, is like not. But like I don't know how we would like formalize that, or like I don't know. Yeah.
Also, I feel like aren't there like some kind of freedom press educational like papers, or like does any like journals attached to education, they have like certain rights, I think. Is that true?
For Review and like The Grape?
Yeah.
No.
No?
They're
really?
Just not a form of training. It's just like, you know what you know. It's like, you just kind of have to trust the editors in chief just know what they're doing. Which like is not the case with The Grape, but it's sometimes the case with The Review. Oftentimes.
I think also, like, as far as this, like, I don't know if personally I would categorize this as not as discrimination. I will categorize it under unethical because it's a disrupt, well, at least by the way that we just defined it, it disrupts the entire student body. I think one of the key facets would be determining its intentionality, and then another thing to consider would be the stature of the group on campus. So for me personally, a group like, a new group you know, that released something and just, you know, haphazardly said something that was very offensive, we would bring them in for a hearing, but this punishment wouldn't necessarily be as severe for me, at least, for a group such as The Review, because they've been around for a while, they know the onus, they know their readership, so their responsibility for the impact is a lot greater. I don't know, but I don't know, I'm still having a hard time like defining what discriminatory would be, because for me that isn't necessary, I wouldn't necessarily on my own categorize that as discriminatory. I would say that's unethical by our definition. Yeah, but that's also how I would deal with it personally, or I would think about it. But I don't know, I really don't, I'm still trying to have like codify discrimination.
Has it been like discriminatory like practices that you've heard of from student works in your time here? Big scary schemers.
I was like, who? And I was like, oh, we are the big scary schemers. Past the like Republicans thing. I mean, like, they made the like whole Make America Great Again or Make Oberlin Great Again hashtag t-shirts 2 years ago and distributed them around campus, and I was like,
are we serious?
Some in our office, and I was like, gold. But like past that, I don't. But also, I feel like there are some groups in like student orgs that are in conflict with each other, especially around like Palestine and like Israel, and like what one group deems as discriminatory isn't necessarily what another group of people would will deem as discriminatory, which is, I don't know, it's just very subjective in some cases. And like one group is like literally opposing another group, so can't they report each other as being discriminatory?
And then because it is so subjective for like us to decide on that, and like remaining objective is like really hard in that too.
There's also the question, like, is this the hill to die on tonight? And like, if there's like bigger things and more important things we should like really tackle, because if it's not a problem for the student body, or has it been in the past for a couple of years, then like, why expend energies for just noted in the back of our head? Is that fair to say?
Can I make a recommendation? Okay.
I was just gonna say, I think that on that, there is an office of equity, inclusivity, and diversity, or something like that. And if we are saying that we could be put in a position of deciding, and judging that, we should be partnering with them on these issues, and having something like that in bylaws would be helpful.
Or like, you know, if student union board something to do, have them do a case and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. True. They could do that. Yeah. They could do that, honestly.
They got people who, like, hire people.
But they don't have nothing but money. Mm-hmm. No disrespect. They...
Where are you
going to say? I was going to recommend that it be defined as equal access to opportunity and advancement, and discriminatory practice is the use of funds, power, or position to coerce, silence, or subdue members of the group or subordinate members of the group. This is my preliminary definition, but we can just table it and partner. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
The office.
Cool. So this isn't part of anything, just like between section 3 and article 2, there's a random 2 right there that I want deleted. If you see it.
That's an angel message. You don't know about numerology? Come on, get up on it.
Oh my gosh.
Come on now.
Anyways.
Come on now.
Article 2. there was nothing I wanted to point out in this article, but I did have a question based on section 2 of the article. For Elijah.
Yes.
So the money we have right now in the ad hoc pool.
Yes.
Is that inclusive of the fee that students will be paying next semester? Or will that pool increase next semester when people?
No, it includes. It includes. Yeah. Because it's also a projection right now, because we don't have the tuition from the spring. So it's based off of 2,850 students. I did two, so 2,800 and then 2,850 students for spring enrollment.
Great. Were there any amendments, questions, comments people had on Article 2?
Just
I think the student life committee shouldn't necessarily have to be a part of it. Wait, is the student life committee is... No, I'm thinking of student union board.
Student life committee is chaired by Meredith Armando. It's filled with people like David Dorsey.
Okay.
Who helped, like, basically all, like, the student life related, like, heads to stuff on it.
Yeah. I always get them in those.
And, like, what has historically has happened is, like, if we need the student life committee to sign off, it's really just, like, Meredith Armando signing off on us. And we just get that.
No. Yeah, scare co-op.
They always play at this time. Every meeting we have.
Is there a charge?
I do want to change the language. Section 1, just say students may opt to enroll. Students may opt to pay an activity fee.
Ooh, that's more like accurate. A green edge fund.
Because it's true. It's optional. It's not required.
Wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
You can't opt out. You can opt out of the Green Edge Fund,
yeah,
but
you can't opt out of this.
Excuse me, never mind then.
I would know, because I opted out of the Green Edge Fund my freshman year. I felt bad about it, but I was like,
no more money.
$50.
That is.
Imagine if I opted out of 300.
428, yeah. You mean?
Yeah, that.
Okay. Yeah.
So
Article 3.
Everybody will opt out of it.
No, we're doing Article 10, right? We're just doing 1, 2, and 10?
Yeah. 1, 2, 10. And this is just about Res Ed.
So, for people who are new to SFC and Oberlin, prior to last year, student dorms were allocated based on how many people lived in the dorm. And so, if you had, like, I don't even know the numbers. So, like, you would have, like, a flat rate of, like, 600 or 1,200 allocated to each dorm, depending on how many people lived in there. And the program house had their own special rates. But then last year, the community decided not to fund any. They're called hall councils. The community decided not to fund any hall councils. So this is technically a fall section as it stands right now.
Was there a reason why we decided not to? Did hall councils do nothing?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah, but not
well,
all
we're
of
trying
them.
To get a
lot.
Some of them do
but
things,
not
just
all
not
of
people
them.
Resets. No.
Yeah, like, some of them did good things. Some
we
of them
used our money.
Did not.
All of them? All of it?
First of all.
All of it? All of it? Yes or no?
First of all, I don't even know because everyone was confused about how much money we had.
Well,
trying,
they
don't
send
have
them
it.
Out
they
every year. That's not our fault. It's on the website.
No. I mean, after spending. People were confused.
Question mark. So, like, how much money was like allocated yearly for like Res Ed?
It's
800.
No, it's more than 800. Like, as a dorm, we got like
$5, $10 per hour.
It's 8 to 1600, depending on the thing. I'm trying to look at the exact. Oh, it's not on this one. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you get.
Well, my proposal's
really
Article 10. I agree.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29.
What's 29 times 600?
That's
like a lot.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
a lot.
That's
$17,000. So about. I might have missed another 600.
I
lowballed
it.
And they're not all 600, are they?
Yeah, no, some of them.
No. I just some of them are 12, but I counted 600 twice because that's how math works.
That's. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I don't read minds.
So like we have upwards of $70,000 that's most likely not used every single year.
Mm.
Yeah.
That could be less. As long as we're
here. Which is why they got it last year.
They could also ad hoc for it, right? Like the hall councils could ad hoc for.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For Marsha House needs a toaster.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. It's like my reservation with that was like maybe like programming so I could see like wanting to do.
Like for prepping.
Yeah.
But a lot of them get it from those departments too. Like I know we can use Russia House for example. Like we get like all our programming is done through the Russian department. So like they just use the Russian department funds.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They still have access to financing.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Okay. They can still submit a budget if they want to too.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Why not?
But then...
A lot, why not, but like...
Yeah, why not? Make it to the middle budget like anybody else, or go to ad hoc like anybody else. If you want to.
Who's gonna go?
What are you gonna program
and stuff? There were two people. So Article 10 is just getting deleted?
Yeah. Article 10?
Yeah.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Special components and student activity.
Well, I guess section... I mean, Article 10 should get deleted because they won't have services to carry over anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, should we just, like, let them know that they can ad hoc or submit a budget?
They know.
Like,
they know. Andy's been telling them.
Nice. Good job,
Andy. Andy is well aware.
Sudokus.
Seduskus?
Seduced.
That's my friend.
Randy, Andy, Mandy, I don't know his fucking
Andrew?
Name.
Andrew?
What?
Andrew?
Randrew? That's not
Dr.
a name.
Dr. Andrew?
That's not a real name.
I can't believe you had a whole PhD on residential education. I just...
You're lying to me.
No, it's on dorms. His PhD is on dorms.
Are we
done? Good night.
We're still in the minute.
Good night.
Oh, yes, we are still in the minute.
Yeah.
Right.
On dorms.
So,
that's the program, too. That's the stuff pieces. That's
do we have anything after
all? Do we want to revisit whatever we had tabled 10 minutes ago?
The discriminatory regulations, I thought that we were going to discuss with the Office
yeah,
of
Equity.
And
yeah, we were discussing with the Office of Equity. And,
oh, before we amend it?
That's a big...
Yeah, no, I think that's
yeah.
Kind of,
yeah, so
yeah,
you can
discuss,
talk about
it. See,
like,
see what they
when,
think
is. Who
yeah.
is doing that? Awesome. When is that happening?
Mm. I could shoot an email right now. This who wants to join me? Volunteers. I need a younger person.
So, I can...
Younger person.
I'll do it.
Everyone. All the younger people.
All the younger people
great.
Can join me. I will
yes.
see all of you on that.
So, moving forward, action items is that... unethical
oh
manner, like the language that we developed for that,
huh?
is being further developed by policy manager Matt
yes.
Parker when she's no longer contesting
oh.
the screen. Sounds good.
Yes.
Oh my God. I will be presenting to Senate this Sunday about adding ability to the list of social stratification
mm-hmm.
to section one, I mean article one, section 2.1.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Any objections?
No.
We're deleting number two because we hate numerology after article one.
Mm-hmm.
No objections. And then we're entirely deleting Article 10. And then do we want just like every article just to move up one?
Yeah, oh, I guess that's how that works.
Is that how it works? Or we just like
yeah.
leave it blank?
Leave it 9 to 11.
Just Article 10.
Well, or we could be like Article 10 used to be a thing in previous years and has since this deep blank year been obsolete.
We'll footnote it.
Mm.
We'll put it in the footnotes. Article 10.
You just make it gray so people know.
Obsolete.
Or red.
Mm-hmm.
Or gray.
Redacted.
So it's like old.
It doesn't stand out as
right.
much.
And then, after that, this will be updated by the policy manager, Meg Parker. And then we'll have a revised copy from May 2013 to October 2018. That sounds nice.
What is
it? Yeah.
Is that all the to-dos?
So we're going to... Other to-do list is that we're going to touch base with SIC, Good Talk, as well as OPAS about getting the materials.
I reached out to Bridget. She hasn't responded to me yet, but I reached out to her. I also talked to Tina. She's, like, really pressed about this also just to let you guys know. So
press, like, she also thinks we should switch companies or, like...
No, press, like, she thinks we should get back to...
Just give them
yeah.
the money?
Yeah, because it's functioning right now just to resolve it for real. Is what she's pressing for. I don't really know if she cares.
Problems don't go away if you throw money at people.
Well, other update on that. This is earlier, but remember that there's going to be a meeting scheduled with Meredith Armando, I guess now Tina, the chairs and vice chairs of the Senate, Bridget Flynn, hopefully, about OPAS and like what this means. I think everyone here is invited to do that, especially with OST as well. But I think it's a good thing to have a united front or a united idea of like what we want. An idea that like Amsterdam. The idea that, like, I think it's kind of disgusting that, like, students are, like, after paying student activity fee is now subsidizing the college for something that they should be offering themselves. You know, that's kind of bizarre.
Right.
So we'll be having that meeting, but we're going to have that, we'll be having that meeting hopefully after we get the contracts, we'll be financially literate about this current situation.
Okay.
So if you're coming to that, make sure to read that email. But also, just timeline yourselves. Remember that they already paid for the fall break, the fall arrival.
Mm-hmm.
But that means we have until Thanksgiving break to have a conclusive decision about this.
And remember that they are running weekly airport shows also, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just on
travel?
So that's also right.
But the next big ticket item is Thanksgiving break.
Okay.
All right. So like we should find a decision by that. I think that's what me and the other leadership were talking about earlier. Anything else?
What time is that?
We're gonna figure that out.
Okay.
That was just very recent.
Also on the to do is to write up the contract.
Yeah.
Write the contract.
And then
before
also.
October 11th.
I will make the calendar during my office hours tomorrow.
Okay.
Also tomorrow I will break up all the student orgs into 7 groups.
Why?
Yes.
So we can start doing the meetings.
Mm.
Oh,
no.
Got it.
Why?
I just...
And then outreach officers, sorry. Outreach officers, can we upgrade the and renew our contract with Wufoo? Is it Wufoo?
Weebly. You got Wufoo from her.
Wufoo, and then
That's being done already.
It's not.
I have
okay.
my office manager. Right
okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, he got a staff.
I got a staff.
Do you know when that will be done, Elijah?
It should be done by Friday.
Okay.
It should be done before then, but it should be done by Friday.
We can update that website.
Also, the policy is different on the website than it is in the charter. Like, there's also precedent and pricing guide. There's a lot of